This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Welcome back, everyone, to the Embracing Change podcast. This season, we're talking about revolutionizing recovery. We ended our last episode talking about pain. In this episode, we're going to talk about disorder and how it relates to recovery. So, how did you feel coming out of last episode into this episode with pain and then coming into disorder?
I feel really good. I think that most of people who define mental illness and as well as addiction, I've seen a lot of people say it's a disorder. And so I want to revolutionize that word, disorder. I want to separate it. I want to do the, you know, etymology of it and put it together, the history of how words come together and how we create them and what do they mean if they're separate, if dis and order is separate, what do they mean? But then when you put them together, what does that mean?
I love that you are jumping into the etymology of words, because I think when you really look at a word and discover how it came to be, it brings back its power. We have words that we use over and over and over again, and they just kind of fade into the wallpaper.
Well, they become, again, they become almost, I would say this, that we don't respect the power of words as we ought to. And I know for me as a Christian, the Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. But really what they're saying is life and death is in the power of the words that the tongue enunciates and proclaims out in the air. And I think that we have to be mindful of that. Yeah. I remember when we were young, we would say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is not the truth.
Not by a long shot.
And having to let that go or relearn that that is not truth was amazing, because most of us are in the condition we're in because someone proclaimed a word over us. Even when we were named, our name has power. You know, Lakrita means prosperous one. My son's name is Kim, and it means supreme ruler. So even names have power. And that's why biblically when they named their child, they named them and then explained what the name was. Because you were making a proclamation, you were speaking a word over that person. And so when you deal with dis, it means to separate. It means to disconnect, not be connected, apart, distant. And then when you deal with order, the definition of order is discipline, position, patterns, original, to fit together, to arrange. So when you put disorder together, that would mean that you are really separating the discipline, the arrangement. You are really separating and putting apart, disconnecting the patterns, the original. So in other words, if I have a disorder, somebody labels me as having a disorder, they're saying that I'm separated from my original self. I'm separated or disconnected from or distant or put apart from the patterns in which I was created and how I'm made. And so then we start labeling and naming ourselves and putting stuff on us that really isn't the truth. And so we need to be able to go back and just put, again, as I said about pain, pain is something's present, but it's out of order. And it's the same thing with disorder. Something's present, but it's out of order. How do I get it back to what it was originally meant to be? If that makes sense.
It does. It does.
And so I think we all go through a place in our lives that when dealing with pain and emotions, you know, we talk about, I have a right to feel, and you do. I just don't know if we all understand that there is 12 areas that pain is directly linked to our bodies. And it creates a disorder. It separates us. So we have stress that usually gets in our head. It's how we think. You know, we have 12 areas in our body that talks about emotional pain. And when you're dealing with disorders as well, you're dealing with a lot of things, you know, most of mental health comes from your head. And so they say that the greatest pain that we deal with in our head is stress. And then they talk about emotional burdens are in our shoulders and lack of forgiveness is in our neck. And then you have your lack of emotional support that's right there in your heart, in the center of your, when you feel lack of support, emotional support from other people, or you don't feel like you have it, it disconnects, it puts you into a disorder of your own heart. So it brings heart disease and those kind of things. And then you look at your, you know, lack of flexibility. When some people are just rigid, you know, it's concrete, absolute. And that comes into that black and white thinking, that concrete, you know, I'm not going to be flexible. I'm not going to adapt. I'm not going to, you know, and so that comes into your elbow. So your elbow was made for it to move, to be flexible, so it could do kind of different things. I don't know if you've ever seen a person who has a body that can kind of take itself and put it in all kind of positions.
A contortionist.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Because certain parts of our bodies was ordered in its original way to move. And so when you're dealing with financial worries in your bodies, it's usually in your abdomen, your gut, the gut of your stomach. And so many things, ulcers and all those kind of things come. And then when you're dealing with the disorder of, you know, fear of change, it's right there at your hip. And I think about Jacob. Come on. Mm-hmm. When he was in Genesis and he had betrayed his brother. Notice that what got knocked out of joint was his hip. Because he had fear of change. He didn't know what Ishmael was going to do to him. He didn't know what was going to happen to him when he met up with his brother and what was going to, and what encounter he was going to have because he stole his birthrights. So he didn't know how that was going to turn out. I think I said Ishmael, but
yeah, it was Esau.
It's Esau. I'm sorry.
No, that's you know? Fine.
And so, you know, the reality of it is that when you have fear of change, it messes with your hips, which is the structure of your life. Your hips kind of holds up the top and the bottom of who you are in your body.
Also allows you to move.
And it allows you to move.
Propel your body one way
exactly,
or another.
Exactly, yeah. One way or the other. And so that's why people wonder why change is so fearful. Because, you know, we don't know, so we get fearful and we get stuck in one position. And it becomes a disorder in our lives. And then one of the parts is in our hands is isolation. You know, not, you know, when we look at, you know, how we don't want people to be exposed, when, you know, you can take your hands and cover and separate yourself and make certain movements, but part of the pain, emotional pain in your life, when you isolate, it comes in your hand. And then another one is your ego, is your knees, your big ego. Because most of us won't humble ourselves down. And to me, ego stands for edging God out.
Well, that's basically what it is. Yeah.
And so when you will not humble yourself, then you won't kneel, you won't bow. Then you have a lot of emotional pain in your knees. And then when you are dealing with your, you know, just in your legs, it's tension and jealousy. Because, you know, when you're always running after something someone else has. Because you believe that you need it or it makes you feel better. And so it's in your legs. And lack of pleasure is in your foot, where you stand with your life. Never being content. So your lack of pleasure brings you emotional pain. It brings your feet and your life in disorder. And then you have on the top of your foot, depression. So where the pressure of life comes and crushes you. And I think about even in the beginning of in the Garden of Eden, when he said the snake will be crushed. You know what I mean? So we've got to learn how to take these things and move in our own emotional way so we can be better and reorder the disorder and put it back into the order it was originally meant to be. And so chemical imbalances, we know that they exist. I'm not talking away from mental illness. I'm not saying that we really don't have it. So yeah, there is some chemical imbalances in the brain, but I'm saying some of the things we deal with, I'm just saying practical. It comes from an emotional disorder that we're not willing to deal with.
Yeah. And there are some diseases that are mental illnesses that are organic in nature.
Yes.
And then there are others that proceed out of bad choices or
unwillingness.
Yeah.
Unwillingness to forgive, unwillingness to change, unwillingness, fear, stress, you know, not being a good steward over your money, you know, trying to live above your means. And so then those kind of disorders come into your life and they really then create you to have to go back through a revolutionizing way of recovering from those areas of your life that you let get out of order.
Right. So you're not necessarily saying that all mental illness, you're not.
No.
Yeah, right. So you're just letting folks know that out there, that there are really kind of two
exactly
types of mental illness. You're not talking about the one
that's truly in the medical, organic medical.
Yeah.
And there's, but I'm saying that there is emotional disorder.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And emotional addictions because we won't really move. We won't be flexible. We won't forgive. We won't change. We have fear. We stress. We're not doing well with our money. We got big egos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So my ego is so big, nobody can really see who I really am because I'm always thinking I'm somebody I'm not. I'm not willing to ask for help, or I'm isolating myself. So I'm hiding the things so people can't see what's going on with me. So, you know, I'm depressed because, you know, I won't allow myself to share what's really going on. So it presses me down. Depression. It takes me down, makes me go into the bed, won't open the windows, won't, you know what I mean? Because I'm so overwhelmed. And I do believe that there's medical depression as well, but I just don't want us to think that everything is medical. Some of this stuff is our choice or lack of, I don't want to say lack of responsibility, but it's lack of our willingness to look at things that's deeper that I talked about on the last episode, talking about the deeper areas of our life, going to the core where the pain really starts. Where was it birthed?
Yeah. Yeah.
When I didn't forgive my mother, my lack of forgiveness birthed a lot of unforgiveness in me. So I had to learn how to forgive people, let it go, not forget about it, but not let it have more control over me than I have the necessary responsibility to position it in a way that I'm healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially something like forgiveness can buy you all kinds of freedom.
Exactly.
All kinds of freedom. But if you live in unforgiveness, it can look like obsessive compulsive disorder. It can look like a lot of things.
Exactly.
And I'm not saying OCD does not exist. I'm just saying that it can mimic that.
Exactly.
I love that you're talking about that there are things that look like mental illness that are things more related to choices and things that God can work through the issue with us.
Exactly.
To get us to our freedom.
Exactly. Freedom does not come by osmosis. It comes by choices and participation. And so, you know, looking at that, I think that the other thing that I had to learn is the either or thinking. You know, it's either right, wrong, bad, good. And I've learned that it's and in both. And that's inclusive thinking. And that is the ability to be able to see choices that I'm not blocked in to just this way. That I can really, again, when it talks about the hip, fear of change, I can bend. I can be flexible. I can look at other options. In fact, you know what I mean? And so I can just kind of look at things from a different perspective. And then that way I can move in a different way. So I get a little loose in my hips and then I'm able to be flexible and I'm able to stretch myself naturally so I can stretch myself emotionally, so I can stretch myself spiritually.
Yeah, that's good.
So it's about being able to move and having that space and finding that freedom. And I feel like that's what and both thinking does. It doesn't lock me into one way. It gives me options.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I think a lot of times what we do is we don't give ourselves enough space to become something different. We just kind of believe that this is the only way.
That we're stuck.
That we're stuck.
We can't get out of it.
I can't get out of it. It's not going to get better. And we started this off with words.
Right.
Because it's not what you call me as much as it is what I call myself.
Yeah.
It's not what you say to me as much as it's what do I say to myself. I have had to learn to speak life into me. Even when all hell in life is breaking apart.
Your internal dialogue.
I have to tell myself who I really am.
Yeah.
Not what's happening to me or not even what's happening outside of me. But I have to say, this is happening. This is happening outside of me. I am disappointed. I am let down. I am this. I am feeling these feelings, but that is not who I am.
Yeah.
So I don't label it to me. I don't connect it to me.
Or even judge it.
Or judge it. There's no judgment there. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't need to judge it. I don't need to be embarrassed about it. I don't need to. It is what it is. And so if you're authentically real with yourself, you don't have to worry about what other people think because you don't let them get in your space in your head.
There you go.
I just don't do that. You know what I mean? I just don't.
That's a learned thing too. I mean, if you've learned if you learn to like internalize stuff like that and talk to yourself in that way, you'll just keep repeating it over and over again. And then it's learning how to talk to yourself in a way that's life-giving. Just like you said, you talk life into yourself.
I do.
And that probably changed your mindset after a while. Probably not all at first. It's like a little baby step.
Exactly. It goes back. But it helped change my mind.
Yeah.
It helped change the way I think. It helped change the way I see things. You know, in life, it's. I tell people all the time, it is not what someone else says about you. It's what you say about yourself that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, one of the scriptures that I really love is John 15:5, where it shares about abiding and connected. You know, I am the vine, you are the branch. You know, you abide in me, I abide in you. I feel like that for me, that scripture says that he is in here. I have to then go through all my stuff to dig him out and make him the part of God that loves me, make that part of God in me the most important, the biggest part of me. And so he's abiding in me and I'm abiding in him. I'm connected. He's connected. I can allow him to direct my path, my choices, my thinking. I'm not so over spiritual that I'm not practical. I have pain. I have disappointment. I have these things. And so I realize that's part of life. It's not that life doesn't happen. It's that I don't let life happen to me. And that's the difference. That is, I'm not going to become disordered. I'm going to create order in my life. I'm going to create the disciplines that I need in order to be the best version of me that I can be to me and to you. And I'm going to consider those things. And I'm going to consider me. And I'm going to consider you. And I'm going to think about it. And I'm going to be mindful. I'm going to take out the time when I know that I'm tired or if I'm this or I'm that. I'm going to be able to say that to anyone that I'm talking to, that today is not my best day. And I'm feeling not my total self. So this may not be the best day for me to do A, B, C, or D.
Yeah, it's like emotional intelligence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Emotional intelligence. Know who you are, not just from knowledge and intelligence and book sense. Know who you are emotionally.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying the pain in the emotional chart that talks about the 12 areas. Know that when you're feeling certain things. I went to the doctor just this morning. I woke up in so much pain physically. I'm gonna be honest. And so I this weekend I kind of was like, why am I in so much pain this morning? This is Monday morning. Why am I? And I had to go to the doctor anyway. And I couldn't understand like why I'm in so much pain. Now I am 60, and so my 60-year-old body, even though I tell people I feel 30, my husband said I'm 30-30. And so 30-30 equals 60. I'm 30-30. And so I may feel 30, but I'm 60.
Yeah.
So my body is going through some changes. And so I was in all this pain. So I went to the doctor. I was had an appointment already. And I am telling you, I was also dealing this weekend with a very big decision. And I realized that this weekend I was wrestling with how to position myself concerning this decision on how I wanted to approach it. And so once I was willing to approach it face on, head on, really have the courageous conversation, share the truth with the person, and then let the person make the decision that they needed to make, and I step out of it, I am telling you, once I left the doctor's office, I had that conversation with that person, I give you my word. I can lift my hands. And I couldn't this morning. I couldn't even already raise my hand over my head.
Wow.
I was in so much pain. But I realized now I was in emotional pain. I was wrestling with some stuff over the weekend. And now I realize once I dealt with it, then I'm telling you, it's gone.
Wow. You had freedom.
I have freedom.
Wow.
I have freedom. So once you learn to utilize the skills you know and use your emotional intelligence and you see that it does work, you'll begin, like you said, one step at a time, continue to use it once you see that it does bring a different kind of outcome.
Yeah, sometimes it's just work to learn it.
Yeah.
But it gets easier because then it's like a muscle.
It's a muscle. It becomes second nature.
Yep. Then you can do it a lot easier.
It becomes like instinct.
Yeah.
You know, I've been studying about the brain and how every time you learn something, there's different pieces of your brain that kind of connects to another piece.
A neural connector.
Yeah, a neural connector. And then it connects and it connects and you keep learning new patterns of your brain. So you really can change the brain pattern.
Yeah.
And that's really truth.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, my God. I can change. I have the power that the way we were made, again, going back to disorder, if I'm capable, if it's not a medical condition and it's an emotional condition or it's a learned behavior and it's a pattern that I have created to protect myself, if I choose, I can reconnect those pieces of my brain and become better.
Yeah, and it also says with those neural connections that the more you practice that thought, the stronger that connection becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same with like old habits and old thoughts. As you quit like lingering on them, focusing on them, they become weaker and weaker and weaker. And
exactly.
Eventually that connection breaks. So,
'cause what I call that is the less I feed you, the more you starve. The more you starve, the quicker you die. Because if I don't feed you, you're not going to eat.
Yeah.
And that's just like me. If I sit here and not drink water and food for a certain amount of time, I'm going to be malnutrition. I'm going to die. I'm going to starve myself to death. So it's the same thing. And all my organs are going to start working against, they're going to start being in disorder.
Yeah.
And work against me.
Yeah.
So it's just like a thought. If you don't feed it, it doesn't eat.
Well, and a thought has a physical representation in your brain.
Exactly.
Which, like Carolyn Leaf does a lot of really good stuff on that. But, yeah, that's like a huge concept when you really think that your thoughts take up physical real estate in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to quit thinking a certain way to basically clear out that real estate. I mean, that's a very simplified way of putting it. But
it clears out the space.
Right. But your thoughts matter.
Yeah. Oh, they're the biggest thing.
They matter.
Just like your words, thoughts and words matter.
Yeah.
Because usually, I always say it like this. Before it becomes an action, it becomes a thought. And once it becomes a thought, if I think on it long enough, it becomes a feeling. If the thought becomes a feeling, it can easily become a behavior. And so at any of those points, I can stop it. So I can stop it at the stop. I can stop it at the thought. Or I can even say, oh, I'm feeling it. Let me stop it now. But it's really harder to stop it once it becomes the behavior.
Yeah, it's been reinforced so exactly. many times down.
So if you can catch it at the thought, you have a greater chance of it not becoming the behavior.
Yeah, yep.
And so, you know, I just believe that we are separated from the Creator, and it brings us pain and disorder. Abiding in the Creator brings us unity and growth in life.
Yeah.
I think when I'm separated from Him, I'm the one who creates my disorder and my pain. If I connect myself back to Him, I believe I bring unity, growth, and life.
Amen. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree with that. He puts everything in a perfect order.
He does. It was already in a perfect order. We the humans.
Have messed it up.
Messed it up.
We did.
We the humans.
That's right.
We messed it up.
Oh, it's an expression we use a lot around here. Yeah. Oh, the humans.
Oh, the complex humans.
Oh, we are complex for sure.
We are.
We are. But that goes back to that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you think about how all these things, when you look at them, like the disorder and order and connecting back to the source, and, you know, thoughts have, they have real estate in your brain, physical real estate in your brain. And, you know, some of that stuff, it's just amazing that God made us
that way.
That way, it blows the mind.
What blows my mind is that He made me, my body has the ability to heal itself.
Yeah. Yep.
It heals itself.
Yep.
It has the ability to heal itself. But I've got to believe it. And then I've got to do the work that it takes. Just like if you have surgery, eventually the scar, it heals itself in time.
Yeah.
It may leave a scar, but you know that that scar was only evidence that what was once painful no longer exists. And that is the thing. When you are wounded emotionally, if you think yourself through emotional pain, and work yourself through it, you can heal. The wound or the memory will be there, but it just won't have the impact that it used to.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just in closing, thinking about, you know, what is your disorder and what do you need to reorder in your life to put your life back to a place where it's lining up in every perspective from your head to your toes. And everything in the middle.
It's good to ask the Holy Spirit into that whole process as you begin, as you see the disorder.
Because only He can really bring light to it.
Amen. Yeah. It's so good. I don't want to stop, but I know we need to. So, folks, until next time, thank you for joining us. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924, providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.